Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world on the internet, by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Return of the Unexplained. Well, thank you very much for all of your ongoing emails. I'm going to do some shout-outs on this edition. I can't get to all of your emails, but I'm going to cram in as many as I can. But do know that whenever you email, I see every email that comes in, and if it requires a personal response, as you will know if you've had one, then it gets one. Thank you very much indeed. If you want to communicate with me about the show, maybe make a guest suggestion or whatever, go to the website, theunexplained.tv. That's theunexplained.tv. Designed and created by Adam from Creative Hotspot in Liverpool. You can send me a message from there. And if you'd like to leave a donation, you can do that as well at the website, theunexplained.tv. Thank you very much to Adam for his hard work on the site this year. And also to the person who pointed out that there was a mistake in one character, I think it was, of the link to Monster Vision in a previous show. Yes, we did notice that, and we are in the process of sorting that out, I am told. So thank you. The guest on this edition is not exactly a returning guest, but the son of a guest who was on before. Marshall Vian Summers was on this show about 7 or 8 years ago, I think. Maybe 6. And he was, I guess you could call him, a mild-mannered, quietly spoken sort of prophet with a message for the human race. Well, his son, Reed, is going to be on this show and continues that work. Now, it's controversial stuff, you know, no doubt about that. If you want to email me or email him, ideally, when you've heard this, then please do so. I will put a link to him and his work on my website, theunexplained.tv, and you can do that. But that's what we're going to be doing on this show. Reed Summers, son of Marshall Vian Summers, on this edition of The Unexplained, with a message supposedly from an extraterrestrial force for each and every one of us. Let's do those shout-outs then before we get to Reed Summers in the US. Laurentino in Portugal, nice to hear from you, Laurentino. Nadia and Eon in Wicklow, thank you for the stories and the nice comments from Ireland. Glyn, a Welshman in Tulsa, Oklahoma, thank you for your thoughts, Glyn. Hubert in Zurich says that I'm experiencing something very curious. Every day on my way to work, I walk under a street lamp, and this one, as soon as I think of it, goes off for a couple of seconds and then goes back on again. It always happens at the same time, and it's happened to other people. That's weird, Hubert. Maybe you should check with the municipality or the local power company and ask them if there's something happening, maybe with the timers on that lamp, or maybe something else has happened there. Keep me posted. Let me know. Mark in the Midlands remembers me from BRMB Radio in Birmingham. Thank you, Mark. Somebody does, I'm glad. With a question about pets and the afterlife. I mean, I think pets, if we think that people return, I think pets do too. And we've heard countless stories here that suggest that. From Jan, hi Howard, I was listening to your interview with neuroscientist Sergio Della Sala. Sergio says there's no evidence for phenomena like NDEs, OBEs, communication with the other side through mediums. Jan says, I'm a bit allergic to the statements like this coming from scientists, because people will say he's a scientist, he must know, it must be true. But I can see that Sergio didn't look for the evidence, because otherwise he would have found it. I think that point that you make is at the heart of a lot of the debates we have here. And sometimes science, hard science, is at odds with paranormality, which is something that I find fascinating, Jan. I'm sure you do too. Richard Ray, thank you for your communication. David Pace, nice to hear from you. Brendan in Melbourne, kind comments, Brendan. Nice to know you're there. Danny in Manchester, thanks for getting in touch. Same to Chris in Wakefield. Aidan, thank you for sharing your stories with me. This is one of those stories that you told me, and I'll read it from your email. A few years ago, my good friend Tom passed away, and in the early hours of the morning, I woke up and heard him say, "Goodbye, Aidan." But you know, I was not tearful, and I said goodbye to him. I'd forgotten it until I was having a coffee that morning later and received news that Tom had passed away that very morning. You hear stories like that all the time, Aidan, don't you? Thank you for sharing that. Xander, thank you for your stories about Aerth Castle. I have to do some more about that, Xander. Please stay in touch because I'd like to do something. Nick wants to hear the return of David Paulides. So do I. Amanda, thank you for your email. Michael Cavanaugh in California, nice to hear from you. Annika, good to hear from you. Jimmy, thank you for telling me about the Stephenville UFO case in Texas. I need to check that out. Michael, one of many people to email about the recent UFO flap that happened over Ireland. Three commercial pilots spotting something. We did that on my radio show. We spoke to the reporter from the newspaper who broke the story, the Irish Examiner. Lee in Staffordshire liked the program with Andy Gilbert about police ghosts. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed that podcast, Lee. A lot of people did. Philip in Kyoto, Japan. Good to hear from you again, Philip. Andrew Pontes thinks more fact-checking of Joshua P. Warren is needed. But Stephen Risby liked the Joshua P. Warren show a lot. So, you know, different strokes and different opinions from different people. And David finally gets in touch to make a very good point. We're coming up to the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 8 mission that, of course, paved the way for the landing on the moon with Apollo 11. And yes, we should be marking that in some respect, either here on the podcast, around the world, or on the radio show. Thank you, David, for that. If you want to get in touch with me, the website is theunexplained.tv, and you can send me an email from there, and I get to see them all. Okay, let's get to Reed Summers now in the United States, and something that I think you'll find quite controversial and quite interesting too, I would say. Reed Summers, thank you very much indeed for coming on.
Thank you, Howard. Happy to be here.
Well, Reed, nice to speak with you, and I think it's the first time, in fact, I know it's the first time that I've ever done a recording with the son of the father on this show. So, Marshall Vian Summers, I spoke with 6 years ago now, and he told me about the process of revelation that he believed he'd been through and the message that he felt he had to give to the world. And I remember thinking at the time that he was a very understated guy for the very big things that he was saying. And of course, as you will know, what you're saying is very controversial. There are people who simply will not buy it. And there are people who have no time for what they would see as prophets.
Well, and then there are those who do have time for what potentially a prophet could bring, which is a divine revelation to prepare our world for its emergence into a larger universe of life, which is what has come through Marshall.
Right. And, you know, clearly the message is very powerful because quite often kids rebel. You followed in your father's footsteps and you want to bring this message out there too. Talk to me about that process for you, because you're a young guy. There are many, many things that you could do. But clearly you've grown up seeing your father pass on these revelations, as he calls them, and it's clearly influenced you.
Oh, certainly. Well, I was privileged to see this process of revelation occur through Marshall's life, really since birth, you know, the whole way for me. And so it's been inspiring for me, even as a kid, to see my father humbly participate in this process of receiving a divine voice communicate literally thousands of pages of revelation to prepare our world both for the environmental crisis we're facing now and for our larger emergence into the universe as a united human family. And of course, I was in the background the whole way. There was certainly no pressure to read this or accept it or anything, and I chose my own path. The day after high school graduation, I got in a car, drove across the country, and after a few turns on the road, ended up in Istanbul in the Middle East a few months later teaching. And so I went to the Middle East right after high school and plunged myself into the world and was on the track to learn languages and get involved in international relations. And it was during that time in the Middle East that I had my epiphany or my kind of aha event, which is really stepping back to look at what Marshall had received, the larger body of this work, and what it was really saying and what it was really giving to people and where it was really taking us. And I became convinced that this is a needed message in the world. This is part of the answer. And I'm Marshall's son, no better person to help him in the process of bringing that to people. So I chose to get a flight from Istanbul to Denver, and back here I was, and I began helping Marshall, and that was in 2004. And so 14 years later, here I am. I'm helping him to communicate this message and just bring the value of it to help people where they are.
What was your aha moment?
My aha moment, well, it's interesting how these things happen. It wasn't an intellectual event. It wasn't the result of me thinking things out. Something was changing on the inside for me. My plans were running out of runway, so to speak. My plane was trying to take off, but the runway was shortening. And so I think many people can resonate with that experience where you think you're doing something in life, but something changes at a deeper level. And all of a sudden it pitches you into the unknown. Now you're in the wilderness experience and you don't know who you are or what you're doing. And that's where I was at that time. And
what did you have
event,
a dream or something like that?
I had something of a realization in the desert when I was camping semi-solo out in the deserts of Jordan. I phoned home to my mother on an ancient cell phone given to me by a Bedouin guide. And I was able to connect with her over the airwaves, literally in the middle of sand in every direction. And I spoke to her and asked her about Marshall and how are things. And I heard the need. I heard the need in her voice for Marshall to step into the world and give this to humanity and to have the assistance to do it. And I think in that moment, I knew I need to help my father do this. Because of what the message is and because of the world that I was witnessing out there in the Middle East, tremendous poverty, growing war and conflict, religious divide and violence. So the need was apparent and Marshall had the message. And in that moment, I made the connection, though it was really a few months later when Marshall himself asked me directly if I would help him. In a simple gesture, a simple request that within myself, my heart kind of said yes. Even as my mind doubted, my heart said yes. And that's how it happened.
In the 6 years since I spoke with your father, who, as I say, was a very understated man, I think more people who designate themselves so-called prophets have come forward. And they feel that in the light of the many challenges that we face, and this is part of your message, I know, that we have to be prepared, and you know, it is it's the message of whoever is beyond and above us that we need to be prepared and we need to change our ways. What worries me about any of these things is, of course, that it is not that many steps away from this kind of thing to where you get charismatic leaders and people who say that they're gurus and prophets of various kind who may not be, and they lead people who follow them into calamity. We don't have to name the names, but you know that history is full of examples like that. Can you reassure me on that front that you're not here trying to garner followers? You're not trying to get a charismatic movement going? You know, you're not going to be getting yourself a compound like Waco?
I honestly, Howard, I appreciate you bringing it up because Marshall has to wade through the thick morass of all of the false claimants and people who have been ambitious and have used and abused others. And I mean, I know it may look similar on the outside, what Marshall is saying, he has received a new message from God for the world. Yet on the inside, it is so vastly different. I'll try to begin to explain it actually. You know, Marshall never proclaimed himself in this process. It's very interesting. The revelation that spoke through him proclaimed him. And that was a very great challenge and crisis for him, that the message was putting him forth as a prophet and messenger. And it was a process for him to come to terms with that and for all of us. So
I can't imagine what it's like to be his son when you're just a little kid and your father says, I'm having messages channeled through me that are going to be important for the world. And you just want to watch cartoons on the TV.
And I did. I watched cartoons on the TV, and I had my normal childhood, which I was great. But there was also something super normal going on, and I could feel that. But it wasn't my father proclaiming this about himself or attempting to create a gathering around him or to control the lives of others or to build himself into some huge persona in the world. Marshall is a humble man, as you well know from your first interview with him. He's very grounded. He's very world connected. He is, in a sense, he's devoted to this process. He is opening himself to what comes through, and what comes through is pretty big in terms of what it says, not only about the world and about our lives and our time, but about him and his role in this process. So I mean, on the surface, I understand it may look like one in a long slew of people claiming this, that, or the other. Really, to know the difference, you'd have to look at, well, who is the messenger? What is he like? How did this happen through him? What is the story of this? What is the substance of the message itself? And is it bringing anything new? And what is it asking of people, and what is it giving to people? You know, right there, you would see the considerable difference between what the new message from God is and what many other prophets and claimants are bringing. You know, the new message from God is not one long piece of text, a stream of consciousness communication from beyond. It's a series of books, and each book is on relationships and higher purpose, the new world reality, contact with intelligent life in the universe, the spiritual pathway, which it calls steps to knowledge. I mean, these are really new revelations, books of revelation that reveal a greater reality to people, regardless of their religion, or even if they have no religion.
I'm sorry for interrupting, yeah. But I have to pick this point up now. Otherwise, you know, I'm not going to be doing my job. You and your father talk about the new revelation from God. You use that word God very pointedly, and you know that there are people who have their faith, many of them in your country, who would see somebody who would say that they were channeling a revelation from God as being almost blasphemous. Can you refine the source of that revelation? When you talk about God, what do you mean?
Well, in the new message from God, God reveals God's self as the following: as a great spiritual presence that permeates all life in the universe and gives the universe direction. Okay, so God is not an entity, a lord, or a father in the sky. God is a greater presence that underlies all life, that all life share, and that is moving the universe forward. And this is the God or the creator that has communicated into the world this revelation. Now, I feel that progressive revelation is how God works in the world. God doesn't give one scripture or one revelation through one founder, prophet, messenger, or son. God continues to speak to the world at different times, to different peoples, giving them a pathway to reconnect with the presence of God within them and to prepare for the next stage of human life.
What about the people who don't believe in God?
Well, I would say God cares as much about them as anybody else. In the new message, it says that God does not care what your religion is. God cares about the stirring of your heart and your contribution to the world. Now, if you say to me, there is no God, but God, you know, God damn it, I'm going to help the world. I'm going to go and help someone who needs help. I would say, fantastic. I would not judge that person at all. For some, the idea of God is not for them. For others, it is. But in the end, when we step back from that word God, we're talking about a deeper spiritual presence within each person. And I think many people would acknowledge that there is something in us beyond body and mind only.
There have been a lot of them in America, great preachers over the years. I mean, I used to listen on the radio in the depths of night, beaming in from Europe, the preachings of Billy Graham, who sadly left us quite recently. And I used to listen to him because I felt he was a very powerful orator. And as I sat in my car as a kid, driving in the darkness, I would be listening to the AM signal fading in and out, and Billy Graham would be there telling us that there was something there to save us. And I would listen to this, you know, I could have listened to a dozen music stations, anything else I wanted to listen to, politics, whatever, but I would listen to this because I was fascinated by this man's power of oratory and his power to hold audiences. Whatever you may have thought of him, he certainly had that. And I remember coming out of this thinking to myself, well, I hope there's something that can save us all, because the state of this world, and I'm talking about 25 years ago or more, certainly needs saving. It certainly needs to be steered on the right track, because it's just a personal view, but it's shared by many. You know, we're wrecking the place, it seems to me, and we don't have a lot of regard for other people. So the message is a basic one, and the message is one that established religion would well and truly harmonize with, I am sure. But what makes this different is that you and your father say that you've had a specific, almost telephonic connection with some higher power. That fascinates me.
Well, Howard, yeah, I resonate with what you just said, that something, we do need saving in a sense, but the old notion of a lord or an entity saving us through one individual, for example, or through grace, is not really what the new message teaches. I mean, the new message is God clarifying how God saves people, which is through the presence of what the new message calls knowledge, the spiritual mind within us. And it says that God's plan is to save everyone. Everyone is equal, no matter what their religion, and that God created the world's religions at different times and places, and they've all been changed and altered and corrupted over time, but that God is the author of them all. And that God's plan is to bring into the world many different ways for many different people to connect on the inside. But where that meets the world is really important. How does our spiritual connection on the inside meet the challenging planetary environment we're facing every day? And that is really what brought the new message here. It's that we are wrecking the place. Contact has begun, the greatest event in human history. We are totally unprepared for it, and we are not seeing it correctly, those of us who know about it. And it is these two events, the environmental destruction of our world and contact with forces from beyond our world, that have the power to unite us or to destroy human civilization.
And how does God, as you call the presence of God, that you say is universal to many, many faiths, how does God connect with this extraterrestrial message, the aliens?
Well, from God's perspective, as revealed in the new message, our world is a young, emerging world. We are emerging into the larger universe of God's creation, and it was always the plan of the Creator that humanity would step out into the cosmos and encounter the rest of life that has been created and that is interacting and moving. And so this contact was always a part or a major juncture in our evolution as a race, and we've hit it. We've reached a point of no return in this regard. And so the Creator of all life, it's totally understandable that this Creator would speak to the world at the time when contact occurs to prepare us to warn and give us the tools to properly engage with other forms of intelligence, which is now happening.
So what has come here already?
In terms of the visitors, or?
Yeah, in terms of the visitors.
Well, the new message reveals, because again, these are not things I personally know or have detected, you know, through my research. This comes from the revelation. The new message reveals that our world is being visited by a set of economic forces who are here and have made the long journey to get here to take advantage of our weakness and division in order to gain access to planet Earth, its resources, and us, its people. And this is what stands behind the phenomena of contact, sightings, abductions, and so forth, that are reported, and some of which are most certainly real. So it's a seminal event in history. We are the natives of a new world. We are divided. We are fixated upon each other and our own conflicts. And tall ships are anchored out at sea, right off the coast. And we're beginning to interact with the first forays of that external force as they make way inland. And it's critical as the natives that we perceive this correctly, not read into this event of contact, our spiritual beliefs, our religious ideas, and so forth, and engage with this as an event of nature. This is a nature taking place, and this is our next step as a race on planet Earth, but we have to navigate it wisely.
Okay, and you said, and I'm sorry, I'm sounding like a man who interrupts here, but it's just there's so much that we need to unpick. You said that there's already been contact, and that the aliens, extraterrestrials that are here and have been here are economic forces. They want something that we've got. So is the dynamic here that God wants to protect us from this, or wants us to be able to negotiate a deal with them?
God wants us to wisely and safely negotiate this event so that we can emerge into the universe as a united and free world. Now, the first contact we will have and are having is with dangerous forces in the universe. These are not enlightened beings. These are not scientists or explorers. Well, they are explorers, exploring for resources. That's why they're here. So what God wants is that humanity awaken to the event of contact and understand the nature of what first contact is. And that's really where the new message begins. But in the end, its purpose is to help us step out into the universe and connect with the larger cosmos of life, what it calls the greater community of life.
Which indeed we're in the process of doing. I mean, there's a Mars explorer that is about to touch down now. We are going to put people on the surface of Mars quite soon, depending on who does it, but it's going to be a few years, we are told. So we're getting out there. I just wonder why, if this important message needs to come to us, and if it is this message, then it sounds important to me, why you and your father were picked to channel that message rather than God, for example, or some other force, bring the message to us on the White House lawn or the House of Parliament, Houses of Parliament in London. You know, why is the message being brought to us by stealth?
Well, I'll tell you exactly why. This message is fundamentally about the empowerment of the individual, freedom for the individual, and establishing a line of trust within all of us, within each of us, to knowledge, the spiritual mind within each of us. So if this message was given to an authority with a great degree of power, be it political or religious, that would cause conflict. People already don't trust these forces. And to give power, the power of God's revelation, to the powerful forces in the world, I don't think that would trickle down to the individual. I don't think it would reach them. I mean, already religious institutions keep spiritual power from the individual. And so what happens here is that a humble man is chosen who has no station, no rank in society, and he's given a pure message. And if he's faithful, he's able to record and offer that pure message to the world. And people will receive it or not based upon whether they resonate with it or not, whether it feels right to them at the level of knowledge. Because in the end, this isn't just ideas upon ideas to convince you and to convince you. This is a process of you feeling the truth when you are presented with the truth. Now, I feel the new message from God is a pretty amazing expression of truth, which speaks to nearly every aspect of life and all the most important issues facing our world. But it's for the individual to feel out if that's true to them. But this is the process of revelation. It's given to one man, not many, so that the message remains pure and intact, doesn't have competing versions, and the message is presented in simplicity, like we are discussing it right now. And people can feel out for themselves, is this real? Is this the truth I've been looking for?
So are you saying that you and your father, Marshall, who I spoke with, of course, here, are you saying that you are the only two people to be conveying this?
Marshall is the only person conveying this revelation from God, yes. Now, that's not to say there aren't many other expressions of truth and in religion and in society, for sure. But yes, he is the messenger for this new revelation.
Okay, I think we need to boil down then what it is we need to know. The best philosophies in this world that there have been reducible, most of them, to a few sentences. So what would you say is the message that we need to be getting across?
The message we need to get across is that our future as a world is to step into a larger universe. Contact with that universe has begun, but it is contact of a dangerous form that we need to become aware of and to prepare for. And that God has spoken again to prepare all people in the world, regardless of their faith or spirituality, for this great natural event in our evolution.
So are we about to be invaded by something bad, and we have to have the knowledge to resist it?
We are making first contact, and it is an invasion, though it doesn't look like one, because it's subtle, and it is advanced in its tactics and in its technology. But in essence, humanity needs to move forward now. We have been stuck in a tribal past for so long, and yet our world is uniting. It is interweaving itself at the level of economy and telecommunications. A one-world awareness is coming into being, and that is good. That is the plan. That's what needs to happen. But first contact with other forms of life may threaten and undermine that process of natural unification in the world. So we need to continue the process of uniting the world, uniting the world's religions, its even its nations and its cultures, and prepare to step into a larger universe, because that is where our united world will express itself.
But in the short term, we have a threat to see off, do we?
That's correct, yes. Our first challenge, well, there are really two, is to address the environmental crisis in our world that we have largely created, and to address the intervention, the quiet invasion by other forms of life into our world who are seeking to basically use this time of instability and pit us against one another to slowly and quietly take control of this world, which they are doing through a number of means, which we can certainly talk about.
Mm. And what sort of tools do they have in their arsenal? And presumably, are they cleverer than us? Do they have weaponry that we don't have?
Well, first off, I should explain the intervention a little bit. The intervention is a small expeditionary force of economic organizations. They do not have great numbers. They do not have great military power.
And where have they come from?
They have come from our local universe. You could say an analogy might be we are stepping out of our home into the big city for the first time, we humans, and the first we encounter is the salesman, is the drug dealer down the street. You know, it's not necessarily the loving and the enlightened. And our first contact will be with those who come to our door for a reason, with an agenda. And so that's what the intervention is, a small force whose intent is not to destroy the world or humans. It's to quietly gain access to the world and to us, the human family. I often hear people say, as kind of a reaction to this message, well, if they haven't destroyed us, they must be here for our good. That is a logical fallacy. To say they have not destroyed something means they're here to support it altruistically is not a logical statement. Because what if their intent is not to destroy it, but to take it? Of course, then they wouldn't destroy it.
Mm. Whatever they plan to do, whatever their motivation, I would ask why they haven't revealed themselves more widely.
Because that's not their intent. They want to work quietly with different powerful groups in the world and to weave themselves into human society through a number of tools, as we can talk more about, and then perhaps reveal themselves when they have integrated sufficiently that they would receive broad support from most people.
So you're saying that they're already here and working, but they're only working with selected organizations?
That's correct. They are taking people. They are creating individuals, hybrid individuals, who could provide leadership for the world in the future, but who will be aligned to the intervention itself. Unfortunately, it gets dark. But you know, reality is reality. Reality is not easy. And as I say, the universe is nature. Nature is the universe. We're dealing with nature here, and nature is harsh like this. But there is a greater good at work in this process, too. And there most certainly is a purposeful and hopeful outcome for the world, I feel. So this is one speed bump. The intervention is one speed bump that we need to slow down and be careful about before we can proceed then after into the larger universe.
So who are they working with now? Are they working with a government somewhere? Or are they just working with individuals that they've snatched off the street and they've been messing with? Well, how does that dynamic work?
Well, let me just summarize basically the four things they're doing in the world, and then that'll encompass who they're working with and how. Their first area of activity is to influence individuals in positions of power and authority. That means political power, economic power, religious power, and to make promises to them of greater technology, potentially weaponry, who knows, spiritual power, the ability to convert others or make their religion supreme in the world. These are the promises, the inducements that they are making to those in power who are often vulnerable to these inducements, vulnerable to promises of power from a greater authority that they could use to become more supreme in the world. So that's their first area of activity. The second is establishing hidden bases in the world from which they can not only operate, but cast an influence over large populations, generating a force in what the New Message from God calls the mental environment, which is the environment of thought, which we know very little about, which in truth is a whole other realm of physicality in the universe. It's a whole other realm that physical beings can affect and shape each other in. We don't know about this environment called the mental environment, but they do, and they're very skilled in influencing other beings in this mental environment.
So you say that, like some kind of Bond villain, and I don't want to reduce it to, you know, trivial proportions, but you're saying like some kind of Bond villain in a movie, these creatures, these beings, have secret bases, and they're influencing our minds in ways that we don't fully understand.
Correct. Yes. And now they're not influencing everybody. Not everybody is under some sort of control. And their influence is often probably subtle in large population areas. But their purpose is to quietly acclimate us to the presence of non-human intelligence in our world, which is a pretty radical shift in the mental environment. I don't know if you've ever been around or experienced a non-human intelligence, but it is a dramatic experience psychologically. And so they're trying to acclimate human beings to that, and to the icons and symbology that would ultimately lead to the acceptance of non-human intelligence in the world, even as leaders of the world. So that's the second area, the establishment of bases. The third is to manipulate our spiritual and religious beliefs, basically to take advantage of the expected return of a Jesus Christ or another figure, or our beliefs about awakening or redemption, and use those to clothe themselves, the visitors, in spiritual clothes, basically.
So they're going to hijack established religion.
I definitely do believe that is happening in various places. Radicalizing certain disenfranchised peoples religiously, or empowering those with a very prophetic belief or an end times belief. And then the last area of activity is the hybridization program, which is slowly over many decades taking human beings, altering them, using their genetics to basically create a hybrid individual who looks, sounds, walks, talks completely like a human being, but has a far greater level of intelligence and ability to influence other humans, and is fundamentally aligned to the intervention and its agenda.
And where are the hybrids?
They are, as David Jacobs would say, walking amongst us. They are slowly infiltrating human society. It's been going on for some time. It's not broad-based. It's not like everyone you meet on the street might be one, or the president might be one. It's much more subtle than that. But this is what the new message from God reveals.
And if the hybrids are very smart, if they have abilities that we do not have, and they're infiltrating our society as we know it, there's not a whole lot we can do, is there? Because we only have a certain amount of ability. So if their abilities are greater, actually, they win.
You know, I know exactly what you're saying. It may sound like a pretty hopeless situation. In fact, it's not at all. And I can explain why. And what I'm about to say on this is really comes from a different body of text. This comes from the Allies of Humanity briefings, which is a series of briefings from an off-planet source who call themselves the Allies of Humanity. And we can talk about who they are and, you know, why we should believe that they are who they say they are.
So we've got friends out there.
We've got friends out there who are watching this intervention occur with great anxiety, watching humanity slowly fall into the sphere of influence of a larger power, who do not want that to happen, who value us as a native people and our greater gifts to give. And so what they have done is sent a small group of observers into the vicinity of our world, and they have given four sets of briefings over the course of 20 years. The last set was given 2 years ago. And in these briefings, they basically detail in clear, simple language who is in our world, what they're doing, and why. It's as if we've been groping in the dark for years about the UFO phenomenon. Groping. What is it? I know something's in the room. And the Allies of Humanity just say, here, let me turn the lights on. Click. And the lights come on. And all of a sudden, you can see who's in the room. And so that's the purpose of the briefings. And they do it, I mean, beautifully. And I encourage everyone to read these briefings. They're short. They're free online. They get right to the point, and they really distill the essence about the whole phenomenon of contact that we've been looking at.
But if they've got our best interests at heart, why don't they go on CNN or use Facebook or do something that all of us can connect with?
Well, as they reveal in their briefings, their intention is to work in concert with the creator of all life. And the creator of all life has actually called upon these individuals, these allies of humanity, to reach out to the world of humanity as a gesture of relationship, because God works through relationship. Very important truth, I feel. And so the allies of humanity do not come as a completely separate reality and they're just going to go right to the president. No, they're going to work alongside the process of revelation, because their message is very, very much a part of it. I mean, they are physical beings revealing what life is like, how things work in our local neighborhood of space, which is something the creator of all life, it's better that physical beings do that, who we may in time have relationships with, than the creator do that. So there are two messages that have come through, Marshall. There's the new message from God, and there's the Allies of Humanity briefings.
And the Allies of Humanity, are they trying to make hybrids with us? Are they interacting in that way with us?
The Allies of Humanity, no, not at all. They are observers. They are not even in the vicinity of our world anymore. Their purpose was to come within reach of this world, observe the intervention, deliver their briefings to Marshall, the messenger for the new message from God, and then to depart. And what their message, what their briefings do is basically reveal the state of contact and empower us, the natives, to unite to deal with it and show us how we can do that. They are not here to establish liaisons, to invite us into some federation, anything like that.
But by the sounds of that, then, if they're just observing, then it's the prime directive at work, and they've accepted that we might lose this cosmic battle.
Correct. I mean, this is empowerment. And it's up to everybody. Do you want to be empowered? I mean, people want to be saved. This is the truth, by the Son of God, by a prophet or a guru, by extraterrestrials. they want someone outside, an outside force, to come and rescue them, even as most people have major issues with authority and don't even trust outside forces. So we have this big trust issue and this empowerment issue. But the new message is basically saying, you are the natives. You have the spiritual power of knowledge within you, which will move through you to do what needs to be done in your life according to your purpose for being in the world that is connected to the evolution of the world. Do it.
Well,
do it. And here are the tools.
Well, we've got this big threat, and you just said the words, and I've talked over you. Here are the tools. If we have this great battle ahead of us, where we have to try and, first of all, the first cosmic visitors don't have our best interests at heart. They want to use us. They're doing hybridization with us. How are we going to harness these tools, this power that you say lies within us, to beat this threat? How do we do that?
Great question.
Because a lot of people listening to this, they're not going to be on board with you. In fact, some of the people listening to this are going to send me emails like they sent me last time saying, this person is nuts.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot we can do. And I just first want to just clarify a few things about what we are in opposition to. It can sound like an overwhelming force. It isn't. The intervention is small. They're completely relying on acquiescence. They are not expecting any resistance at all. They're executing a plan that's been executed many times in many young emerging worlds in the universe. And so they're very brittle and non-adaptive as a force, which is interesting. This is what the Allies briefings say. And so we, on the other hand, are 6 billion or 7 billion unruly humans, unpredictable. We have a huge historical record that demonstrates what intervention is. Many people have been intervened with, colonized, exploited by greater powers. They know exactly what this is. And if they were to hear this message, which is that contact is an event of nature, we have our own history to look back on to understand what contact with native peoples meant, and that we, the natives, actually have all the power we need to thwart this intervention, just like the natives of North America did, just like the natives of South America and Mesoamerica did. I mean, the natives do have the power. The intervention, on the other hand, they are in the process of seeding in the world numerous conspiracies, even about them, which effectively disempower people and convince them that there is no point in resisting, or that some superpower in the government is controlling everybody and we have no power whatsoever. I mean, the intervention is the conspiracy behind many conspiracies.
And how do you know? I'm not wanting to sound like a smartass here, but how do I know that what you're telling me is not one of the seeded conspiracy theories?
Well, sure. I mean, I encourage your own discernment on that. And everybody's, how you know is, what am I asking of you? Am I asking of you to put your faith in one person, a prophet, a messenger? Am I asking you to put your faith in an alien force? Or am I saying, you came into the world with something important to do, and you have the power to do it?
But how can I engage powers within myself or tools that I might be able to access? Well, if I'm not entirely sure what I'm fighting, and if there are hybrids within us who've infiltrated us and they look like us, but they're more powerful than us, but I don't know who they are, I'm fighting with both hands tied behind my back, aren't I?
Not necessarily. I mean, well, first of all, the new message is here for this exact reason, because without it, people would not have the tools to prepare. I mean, are you going to find the tools in Christianity to prepare for an intervention and for our emergence into a larger universe of life? No, you're not. And I would say the same about every other major religion in the world. It's not their fault. It's just they were given in a prior time to meet the needs of that time, not the needs of this exact time. And so the new message is a revelation for Christianity, to guide Christians to understanding this event in history and to bring their Christianity to bear in a purposeful way, as an example. But without the new message from God, I don't think we would have the tools to prepare and to resist this intervention.
Okay. And how do we practically resist the intervention? I mean, do we have to deploy weaponry? Do we have to meditate? What do we have to do?
Sure. Well, this is not a war. This is not an overt conflict out in the physical sphere. This is a process of awareness building. If enough people become aware and hear a message that contact is happening and it is an event of nature, and here's where to begin, here's how to look at this event of nature, which I think many people are more than intelligent enough to receive, then right there you're laying the groundwork that makes the intervention's appeal and promises of peace, power, and technology weak and truly fallible in the minds of many. See, they're relying on us acquiescing and us buying these huge claims that they are making. If we don't acquiesce and if we don't buy the claims, they all of a sudden are a tiny force in a giant world of people who are seeing their presence in very real terms, realistic terms.
But if I look at my own life, you know, life is tough. You've got a living to make. Nobody's helping me along the way. I haven't received any cosmic blandishments from anyone. I haven't been offered power or success or anything. And as far as I'm aware, there's nothing in my little universe that I have to fight.
Well, sure. So many people may hear this and say, I'm not seeing them. Where is it happening? Show it to me. Now, more people need to become aware of the evidence that exists and that UFOs are real, and some of them are intelligently manned craft from beyond our world. Many people need to know that.
Okay, and which of the ones from all the celebrated cases are the real deal? Was Roswell some kind of event along that route?
That would be my own personal take. The Allies of Humanity do not specify which cases are real or not. They just say, after all is said and done, you have what you need to know that it's happening. And I think that's true. I mean, whatever case you've looked at or I've looked at, there's something real behind this, and there's enough evidence to point to that. And let me just say, as I hear your question, how on earth are we going to resist this? And how would the average person actually hear this message and do something about it? Well, let me just say that a small number of people are needed to respond to this. I mean, the American Revolution was not supported by a majority of the population. It was supported by less than 25% of the population. And in the case of this, even fewer are needed. So a small percentage of people are already determining and shaping the future of the world. And that's all it will take. The people of conscience, people who are connected deeply to this reality and know that contact has their name on it, and that's why they've been interested in it for years, for them to hear this clear message and come to basically put stage one of the inquiry to rest. Stage one is, what is happening? Okay, you know what? We know what is happening. Contact is happening. UFOs are in our skies, or intelligently manned craft are in our skies. Stage two is, what does it mean and what do we do? And in order to move into stage two, we have to let go of the mystery of stage one. I think many people want to keep the mystery about contact alive, in part because when the mystery is done and it becomes clear, you then have to do something. You have to take a stand. And that's what's needed, is people taking a stand around this issue.
So are you saying that important and powerful people in the know, who are aware that this stuff is going on, it's in their interest really to keep it that way?
Yes.
Okay, so in the meantime, you're putting out this message. Are you hearing from people who want to be part of this small team? I'm not going to call it a force to resist this power that wants to influence us.
Oh, absolutely. There is a whole world community of people who are beginning to be aware of this and are studying the Allies briefings and are studying the book Steps to Knowledge, which is the pathway of personal preparation that the Allies call us to. And what Steps to Knowledge does in the life of what it's done for me is it's brought my thinking mind down to the bedrock of my consciousness beneath my mind. And it's anchored me there. And this level of consciousness, what is called knowledge, cannot be influenced. It cannot be manipulated by any human or non-human force. And so when you are closer to this deeper intelligence and you begin to unite your thinking mind with your knowing mind, you become much more resilient in the world. The influence of the intervention, the influence of other human forces begin to become numbed and dulled. And now you're being influenced by the spiritual power within you, which is moving you, which is in short steps guiding you to where you need to be in life.
So step one is you've got to realize there is a threat. Then you have to do something about it, and you say that is connecting with something within yourself. I'm not massively clear on that point.
Sure. So how I consider the three stages of action regarding the intervention is awareness, like you just said. We have to be aware that this is happening. The second is education. We have to learn about life in the universe so that we understand the context in which our world exists. And that is revealed at length in the new message. And then third is knowledge. We have to become stronger with the knowing mind within us, because that knowing mind can see through deception, can protect us from manipulation, and will bring us to our purposeful action to all not only support the state of the world and other human beings, but some of us to respond to this intervention specifically.
Okay, purposeful and action. What is that?
Take.
What's purposeful action?
Purposeful action. When you have a small force relying on deception, all you need to do is make people aware and speak out and never stop doing that.
But if you don't know where the threat is, I mean, for example, you could say, well, I don't know, you might say, I think Donald Trump is being influenced by aliens, and I'm going to do something about that. You know, you can have that view if you wish. Some people may well have it. But an awful lot of people are going to say, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. You know, on this topic, Howard, here's what I feel is those who know, those who are aware, they have to get out of the back alleys of this phenomenon and back onto Main Street. Okay, I think the proliferation of conspiracy theories out there, many of them seeded by either government or intervention, have pushed the people who are aware outside of the domain of mainstream reality and into these back alleys and corners where they're relegated. They're not even listened to. They're in little echo chambers. I have conversations about contact with tons of people all the time. Normal people, like people at restaurants, people at, you know, in my travels at the airport. I don't care who they are. They don't have to be aware of it yet. And what I do, though, is I don't make a claim that the president is an alien. What I talk to them about is the next stage of human life is to become a part of the universe in which we live. And people get that immediately. They know it all. They know it already. And then I say...
But we are doing that, aren't we? We're exploring space.
Absolutely. And many people already have an innate knowing that this is what we need to do, is get out there. And so there's huge support of that. There's huge interest in it. And so what I do is I say, have you considered that we may be or will be contacted by other forms of life? And the majority of people say, sure, makes sense to me. I can see that happening. And I ask them, have you heard or have you seen news of what's been going on in the world? And some of them say, no, what do you know about? And I tell them what I know. And I give them this perspective that if contact is happening, this is first contact, probably not with very altruistic forms of life, but rather with the first you would encounter in a big city, okay? Potentially a neighbor, potentially a salesman, and so forth. And that if, in fact, contact is happening, in essence, we have an intruder in our house, in the neighborhood, We left the door open at night. We don't keep track of who comes in and out. And we hear something go bump in the night. And we need to go down the stairs and confront who's in our world and confront the intruder and require that they depart our premises. And then assess, wow, okay, what city am I in? What is life like outside my front door? I need to understand this more. So anyway, I use these analogies with tons of people and they get it. The majority of people get it. And so we, those who are aware about contact, need to come back to Main Street. We need to start speaking to normal people and throw away these harmful theories that all people are being controlled by some elite, some Illuminati, that there's a vast mind control program underway and everybody you see is under its influence. Not true at all. That is most certainly what the intervention would like us to think, because it basically takes the people who are aware out of participation in the world.
Mm. But you're fighting, I say fighting, you are opposed against, you are pitted against something that is quite nebulous. I mean, I might go downstairs to my neighbor downstairs and say, I think you're a hybrid, and I know what you're up to. And I might be completely wrong about that. In fact, you know, he would be the first to tell me that I am completely wrong about that. You see, that's a ridiculous example, but you know, how do we identify where the threat is, unless the threat makes itself a little more clear to us?
Well, the threat is making it. I mean, the intervention is at work. You go on YouTube, search the word contact or hybrid, and you'll find their communication and their messaging. Go look at the comments. Is anybody questioning it? Is anybody saying, hold on a minute? First question, why should we trust you and your claims about saving our race from planetary peril? Why? Okay. Very few people are questioning their messaging. So right there is an opportunity for people to go ask the first question of those who have already leapt to the 498th question. You know, they're already to ascension and that ET's fathered us and they live inside of our world or inside of the moon or all this stuff. I mean, people have gone way, way off track from the central issue that this is an event of nature that we need to regard with reality in mind.
But how do we filter this message out from the thousands of other videos and online presentations from people who believe they're the son of God, believe they have healing powers, believe that they're time travelers from the year 6406? How do we find this information?
Well, it's out there. I would certainly recommend people go look at what Marshall has been saying for the last few years, because he's presenting it very clearly. And I mean, really, we need to amplify our own powers of discernment. We need to become conscious, strong, grounded, educated, and discerning individuals.
Okay, well, you say what you say very clearly, and we're coming to the end of this conversation, and I found it very interesting. Just at the back end of this now, what would you say is going to be the first event that will grab the attention of more people than just the few who are currently in the know? What will be the next stage in this process?
Well, I'm not sure when those visiting our world will reveal themselves and on what kind of stage. I think the next event to rattle human consciousness is the environmental calamity we're facing in the forms of firestorms and hurricanes, drought, sea level rise. I think we are about to be awoken by nature. Nature is waking us up. And the next act of nature after that is that contact with other forms of life is taking place. The other shaking, rattling of nature, rattling our cage. So this is what, and people feel it. You know, everybody looks out at the news and feels what's going on, feels the scope of challenge and the minuscule, seemingly minuscule level of solution. And that's really my message and Marshall's message to people, is that they carry the solution. There needs to be a greater force for good in the world, and it's not a force of idealism or good ideas. It's a force welling up naturally from the deeper intuitive mind within the individual. This is what inspires compassionate action, or this is what takes us on a journey we never thought we would take. Like for me, I never thought I would end up in this chair. I was going to go do something else with my life, but you know what? I'm where I need to be. I chose this because of knowledge. And that's what I encourage in others, is become a part of this greater force for good by uniting with knowledge within yourself, by receiving the allies' briefings and this revelation whose purpose is to help you unite with knowledge within yourself. That's why they're here.
I'm sorry I'm the bad guy asking a lot of questions like this. I know
that's
that
okay, Howard, I understand.
There are going to be people who are going to batter me for that, and there are people who will take the opposite view. Some of this sounds a little bit like mind control. You wanting people to go and get your message and take your message on board.
Well, I feel our message has value to give them. I mean, our message can help people. That's what I feel. Now, if people want to live a personal life of their own possessions, job, you know, personal interests only and not be connected to the world, that's their choice. And then our message would not be very helpful. But for those who are connected to the greater movement of the world, who feel it deep within them, but who do not know what that means for them, what would they do in light of it? How would they change their life in order to be a part of this movement of the world and contribute to it? Wow, my conviction is that the new message can help them. And if it's not for them, that's okay. I encourage them to find what is for them. But in essence, the human family has to get moving. More people, individuals have to claim this power within them, root their trust, not in an external authority or even in a revelation from God or even in Marshall, root it in themselves. Mm-hmm. And if they can find a means for discovering that source of power and rooting themselves in it, fantastic. I support them, no matter what path they choose.
So what you've been telling me over this hour is that there is a message there, and I think you've been saying that you're not a prophet, but the message is more important than the medium, i.e. you and your father.
Oh, the message is much more important than the messenger, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, this is a good starting point for this conversation. It's been 6 years since I spoke to your dad. Please give him my regards, Reed, and thank you very much. If people want to read about all of this, or indeed want to connect with you, want to tell you what they think about what you've just said, where do they go?
If people want to get connected, newmessage.org is where they can read the new message from God. The text, the books, the original audio of the voice of revelation is all up there for people. And if they want to go read and learn about the Allies of Humanity briefings and the intervention, that would be alliesofhumanity.org. And I'll just also say that there is a worldwide community of people studying this work and taking it into their lives. And there's a large group of people online at community.newmessage.org that you can meet and interact with and ask your questions to. It's an open community. Come, leave, come as you are, be of any religion or no religion. It's really all about getting connected to knowledge, feeling and seeing the state of the world, and beginning to move as the spiritual power within you would have you move into your greater purpose and contribution to the world.
Do you see yourselves as a cult? Do you think that you're cult leaders?
Good God, no. I mean, we ask people to get connected on the inside for themselves, and we give them these materials for free. People live all over the world. There is no centralizing of power. Marshall himself is the most humble person you could ever meet. He doesn't want to be anything to anybody beyond who he really is, which is the messenger, the one who has brought this message to them. So for those who would say that, I would say, well, you'd have to come take a look, you know, come to an event, come to a broadcast, see who's here. Everybody is living their own life. We all have jobs, day jobs, lives, families. We're in every religion. We're in 70 countries around the world. And people, in essence, are simply taking, you know, the value from this enormous revelation and bringing it into their life. And that's beautiful. They're being liberated from addictions. They're being liberated from anger, from irresolution in their family or what have you.
But I have known people running what I would class as cults. Some of them I would class as not being very nice, say exactly those things. We will free you from addiction. We will show you your inner self and we'll do all the rest of it. I suppose I'm just being a bad guy here just to satisfy myself that there is a difference between you and them.
Okay. Well, you know, standing in the center of this, I can say there's a huge difference. And we're not freeing anybody. I'm not personally doing any of that. The new message is, and it's free online for them to download and read on their own. So, I mean, it's a message that encourages global unity, personal action, and connecting with the spiritual mind within us. And that's not only in the new message. That's elsewhere in the world as well, that message. But this message comes with a great degree of relevance to the world we're facing now. And it's up to each person to feel out if that's what they're looking for.
Reed, good to talk with you. Please give my regards to your father. And, you know, if people email you on the basis of what they've heard here on this podcast with you, please let me know. I'd be very interested to hear what reaction you get, and I'll pass on any reaction that comes into me.
Thank you, Howard. Great to talk to you today.
Reed Summers, and I'm sure he would like to hear from you if you have comments to make about his appearance on this show. And if you want to make a comment to me about this show, then you can go to the website, theunexplained.tv, and send it from there. Thank you very much for all of your emails. Keep them coming, as they say, as we come to the end of this year. 2018's almost in the bag. We're looking ahead to 2019. Where did this year go? You know, I know my grandmother used to say that. Where did this year go? And now I'm a little older and I'm saying those things too. Thank you very much for being part of this. So until next we meet, my name is Howard Hughes. I am in London. This has been The Unexplained Online. And until next we meet, please stay safe. Please stay calm. And above all, please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.